Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. Forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. So save England and
most certainly do love this land. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the voice of the EDL. And tonight, my producer, co-host, my wingman, is a very own Kel, a.k.a. Kel Fritzy, a.k.a. Red Fox Blogger. And tonight, as I say, is my very own wingman. And
Jeff.
Hey, Kel.
How you doing?
I'm not too bad. A little bit tired. I had a busy day yesterday at a meet and greet, and went very, very well. But it's just a little bit tired today. But anyway, it's good to be here. A lot to talk about this evening. And also, my goodness me, I just noticed. Yes, I'm noticing the chat room. He brushed past your leg and was trying to get through that cat flap. It's our very own Cat Strangler 101, Mr. Tim Burton, tonight. The nickname,
meow.
Slinky.
Oh,
yes,
and he managed to get through on his own. He managed. I didn't have to do this. Yeah, Timmy.
No. I just say that the diet that he's been on lately is a... I'll tell you what, your coat is very shiny, Tim. I don't know which you've...
oh, yes. It's had a special brush this evening in honour of the occasion. And I've just noticed that I've put on my alter ego tonight. It's not for any reason apart from the fact I forgot to log out of the EDL, the Liberty GB radio show.
I noticed that.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm here.
Yes, you do that a lot, Tim.
Well, yeah. So I'm here as the Liberty GB radio show, rather than Cat Strangler 101. So I do hope you'll all excuse me.
Yeah, but we know you are, though, Tim.
We know who you are. We know where you're.
We know who you are, young man.
We take names.
Yeah, we know where
take
you live.
Take his name, Kel.
Taking names. Well, actually, the person who takes names is Tommy. And hi, Tommy.
Yes, Mr. English, I presume.
Well, I certainly hope so.
Good evening, Tommy.
Take his name, Tommy.
I would do. We've taken that many names. WH Fiffle to me by the pens anymore.
No. It's all computerised now, son. Don't worry about it.
Do you know what, guys? I'll tell you something. I've been at work today. I got tomorrow off, thank God, it being bank holiday. And my manager pulled me in for a little chat. And he goes, Tommy, I've got a new sales tactic I want you to try. I went, what's that, Craig? Oh, you know you do your EDL radio show? So I said, yeah. I want you to promote TalkTalk on it. You want me to promote Talk on an anti-jihadist radio show? And he goes, yes, because I've been chatting with your grandmother yesterday. I went, all right. And she's given this lovely picture of you. And he gave me this picture, guys, of me when I was 2 years old, sat on my potty, completely nude. And he goes, I'm pretty sure we don't want this on the notice board, so I want you to promote Talk on your EDL radio show. And he being serious. And he goes, yeah. So I've got a...
I think you just done it. Tommy, you just done it.
Oh, wait. Hold on a second.
Oh, my God.
I have a handwritten script here.
Tommy, you're a cherub.
Oh, God. I have a handwritten script here, guys. So here we go. And this is for my manager's benefit. If you are on Virgin, BT, or Plusnet, sign up today for TalkTalk's Essentials package. Even a weekend calls, unlimited broadband and free UView box worth £149. Sign up today and get it for £21.95 for the first 6 months and £24.45 after that. TalkTalk. Britain's
okay,
always
Tommy.
TV
yeah, okay. We don't want to really bang it out there too much, mate. Do you know what I mean?
That's it. That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing written in red.
Yes. So we all know now. So a lot of our listeners.
You know, I would have thought you could have been a little bit more inventive, Tommy. I mean, you could have come on and said. Subscribe to TalkTalk, no matter whether you prefer haram or halal. TalkTalk is for you, pal.
Oh, yes. Our unlimited broadband is now halal certified.
Oh, my goodness me.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear. We're going to those dark places again, Kel, by the looks of it. No, we're not going there. No.
I'm just waiting for the cymbal crash, like. Oh my god.
Oh, hold on, I've got a text message from my manager now. Tim Burton sounds like a Virgin customer.
Oh, that's just a nasty rumour going round.
Oh. Virgin customer.
Tommy, delivery is everything.
That's Virgin,
okay?
On the ridiculous, isn't it, Tim?
Well, saying that, guys, Jeff is with Talk.
I most certainly am. I'm talking on Talk at this moment in time. Doing my show on Talk.
Jeff gets his broadband and calls from Talk, ladies and gentlemen. So, Jeff, what? Give us a review.
No, Tommy, I'm not going to do it on because it's shamelessly advertising, and we can't do that. So, there could be. I could get myself in trouble for advertising things.
Well, I mean, I would have thought that if there was any broadband that was going to be certified halal, it would be Virgin broadband. You know, you could say Virgin here. That's an advanced.
Tim, you're shameless as well, son. You're shameless.
Line them up all in a row, polish them up, all ready to go. Get your 72 Virgin with Virgin broadband. Yes. My son.
Yeah, get the other 71 free when you join, yeah. Yes.
Well, that's right.
72!
And?
Yeah, I know, you get the other... Kel, you get the other 71 when you join up.
Ah! Okay. Oh, my God. I stepped into a den.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'd like
we're
to put
to them
there
places
well,
again, Kel.
I'd like to put it up there as well, guys.
I'll
back,
pick it up on the upbeat.
Back on to EDR-related things. We've got Rotherham on the 10th of May. And
we
on
most
Wednesday,
certainly have, young man.
And on Wednesday...
That is not too far away,
ticket.
Is it?
No, 3 weeks. Coming up soon.
That's
no,
what I'm
that's
saying.
Right.
And that's, time is ticking down, and it's got a national demonstration, as you say. Rotherham Revisited, I think we must say, because we've been there before, haven't we?
Been there
and
five
we'll
times.
Keep going there.
Is that anywhere near Brideshead, Rotherham Revisited?
Oh, Tim, what are you like tonight?
Oh, God.
Oh, I tell you what.
I was looking up Google Maps.
Sign up for Talk. It not only talks the talk, but walks the walk. That's Talk, ladies and gentlemen. Talking the talk and walking the walk. Let's have it. Yes.
Yes, get it. Adjacent. Yes, get in there.
Get in there, my son. Get in there, my son.
Well, basically, because we're going to Rotherham, guys, for those of you, particularly for our American listeners, or for those who haven't been to Rotherham before, I'll do a quick... Well, basically, I'll tell you what Rotherham's turned into. Basically, it's Yorkshire's number one place for Muslim grooming gangs. At least 96% of those paedophile gangs arrested in Rotherham are of Muslim descent. And if you actually go into Rotherham, the outskirts of Rotherham, which is basically like a couple of houses, a couple of shops, is the non-Muslim part. There are no mosques outside of Rotherham. But if you look at the size of Rotherham on Google Maps, not a particularly huge place. It has 22 mosques for 8% of the population, which is Muslim. So basically, guys, inside of Rotherham is all Muslim to the point now where if you look on the videos of YouTube, basically you've got white women, dare I say the politically correct term of white, where they say, we are scared to go into Rotherham town centre under fear of being groomed and raped by... And they had to say Asian grooming gangs. I've basically got girls as young as 12 who are scared to leave their own house.
I think it's a total disgrace. Something has to be done. We've got to put a stop to this madness, haven't we, guys? This has got to be a put to stop. So, it's just crazy that people should have to live under these things going on, and politicians turning their faces away from it, being the gutless people that they are. I think it's an absolutely disgrace. And it, as I say, it takes just the ordinary Joe Public to actually stand up and speak about these things and then being victimised for speaking up. You know, it just goes to show you the sort of the world that we're living at this moment in time. Also, Rotherham, isn't that the place where they've got a Pakistani flag flying over by the town hall? Is that correct?
That was Rochdale, Jeff. Ian, who's organising the Rotherham demo, have actually got two speakers who was actually victims of one of these grooming gangs in Rotherham. Now, I think this is a very brave thing that they're going to do on the 10th of May.
I think so as well, and, you know, courageous people to actually stand and speak about this thing, because this is a heart-wrenching thing to go over and relive what happened to themselves, you know what I mean, Tommy. So, what can I say? The people that do that are courageous people, and it takes a lot of bottle to do that, doesn't it? So, total respect.
Basically, when you look at what's happened to Rotherham in the past 10 years, basically, when you look at it now, it's ironic that the MP for Rotherham is a Liberal Democrat, so basically he has blood on his hands because you've got these girls committing suicide.
Yeah.
I've just got to thank Paul Alexander for the Easter egg, buddy. God bless you, brother. Thank you from Jed for the Easter egg. Thank you, mate. Thank you very, very much. And I thought I'd say thank you over the air as well. So there you go, buddy. I hope everybody's have a happy Easter so far, the holidays and that. Some people, like Tommy and a lot of people, have to work over the holiday season these days. I mean, it never used to be like that, did that? Used to be Easter, used to be your Friday off, and you'd have the long weekend and the Monday off. But there's a lot of people have to go into work these days. Times have changed a little bit to how it used to be. But as I say, I've got to speak up about yesterday. As I say, there was a meet and greet. I met some really absolute fantastic people who come down from your neck of the woods, Tim, actually. They come down from Wolverhampton. And, Kel, we had a little Skype, and she was part of the meet and greet yesterday, wasn't you, Kel? You got to talk to a few of the...
It was so nice. It was so nice. I got to meet Sally in particular. That was fantastic. And I saw all sorts of people. It was a wonderful day. Glenn Saffer, wow, what a great day. And people were waving at me and saying, hey, Kel. It was a fantastic morning I had. Absolutely.
There you go. And as I say, it was a good day. As I say, we all thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a little bit down on the numbers that we've had before, but these things happen, you know. But it was good to see the people. It's quality that counts, and it's so nice to, you know, to meet up with everybody. Some people's never going to go away from the EDL. They're there for life, if you know what I mean. And that was just a fantastic day. As I say, we had quite an in-depth discussion and a meet and greet as well. Also, we had a guy who's from the Sikh division who was there, Jag. And it was a great honour and a privilege to have a chat to the gentleman. And also, he made a little speech there, especially about the way that the Sikhs have been treated over the last 200 or 300 years, and that was a very interesting for a lot of people that was there, and hope to in the very near future have Jag on the show, and so he can explain a little. So I think it'd be really, really, really good that we have that fine gentleman on the show in the very near future. and also Sally from the, as I say, from the Lansdowne division, from Wolverhampton. Hopefully we might have her on the show in the very near future. So it's something we just need to put together. And we're really looking forward to the future. The future with EDL is bright.
Now, that's orange. You're supposed to be promoting Talk Talk. That's the orange slogan.
Well,
that
I might
is,
have stole their slogan, but it's the EDL, a way of life. About that, Tim.
Isn't that Tesco's?
Is it?
No, that's Every Little Help.
No, I don't think anybody's had that one. EDL, a way of life. I don't think anybody's...
you watch, we'll have copyright on us in a minute.
I've got books now. Fat roll on your head, fat roll on your head. Nina.
I've got one.
Is that a dodgy fatwa, Jeff?
It sounds like it.
Give me the dodgy fatwa. Everything will be all right.
Oh, where's your guitar when you need it? It's downstairs,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes. Mind. Where have you got it? In the other room, have you?
In the other room. Yeah, never mind.
But, well, you don't need it. You can just sing, you know, you can sing along, can't you? You know it
well,
off by heart.
Don't tempt me. I might just break.
Well, I know.
No.
Oh, I would love it. You know what? I think it's wonderful that Tim breaks into song.
Yes. Yes, it's spontaneous, isn't it?
Yes, but guys, let's not forget that this is this is the man who once broke his violin on the way to school. Managed to get the
no, it got run over. Let's get the story right. It was crushed by a big lorry, wasn't it, Tim?
Crushed, it was. It was completely crushed.
Like
much.
Tim's heart was crushed that day.
Yeah that's right. I was completely traumatised that day.
Yes.
My violin crushed to much wood.
Bet.
And with it, my dreams of becoming a professional concert violinist. Oh,
yes.
I never fully recovered, ladies and gentlemen.
Well,
but
no,
nevertheless.
You still have flashbacks, don't you, Tim? You still have
every
flashbacks.
Every now and again. That's right. I do get the occasional nightmare where my violin floats before me in the bedroom. Screeching
and your
out
in the background
an unholy
Tim, you sound like a bloody strangled cat. Cut it out.
Yes,
am I right,
that's right,
Tim?
A disembodied violin floating in the bedroom, scraping out a tune like a strangled cat.
Got him giggling again, haven't we?
It's very traumatising, very traumatising.
Yes. You see, it sounds so sincere, Tim.
What's that, sorry?
You sound so sincere when you say that.
Sincerity is my middle name, Jeff.
Well, yes. Let's not forget, guys, that this is the same man who managed to change British courts justice system forever.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
Yes,
well, I think time will show just how effective that actually was. I think it was highly significant, as I've written in several places. And for those of you who don't know what Jeff is talking about, we're talking about the...
Silence! I kill you! That little bug has got in.
Yeah,
give
crept
him a flat,
in, didn't it?
Give
it
him
wasn't
a
me.
Flat, mate.
But,
I didn't let him in.
Yeah, that was the judgment from the court case on April the 8th, where not only was I acquitted of racially aggravated harassment, but there was a very significant comment by the judge insofar as he decided that putting lying and mendacious and Muslim into the same sentence was not a racial slur because of the nature of the Islamic doctrine of taqiyya. And... that, I think, is going to be seen as being highly significant, and we all ought to be talking about it at every opportunity because
I think so.
It goes right to the heart of what it means for the relationship of trust or the lack thereof between non-Muslims and Muslims that must necessarily...
It's really opened it up now, Tim, isn't it? It really, really has.
Well,
now.
I certainly hope that's the case, yes.
Yes, and hopefully that... As I say, we've seen this little light in the dark corridor there that has lit the way. And your case, Tim.
The thing about it is that Islam has only got as far as it has for two reasons. One is the one that Sheikh Qaradawi himself gave, which is that if the death sentence for apostasy didn't exist, then I think Islam would have a hard job making it to anywhere near the 21st century. But also the fact that Islamic doctrine is built upon lies and deceit when it comes to talking to non-Muslims and promoting Islam to non-Muslims and preventing the denigration of Islam in the eyes of non-Muslims. It's all based on lies and deceit, and that's why we have so much of a problem. And if everybody realized that, nobody would stand for Islam in this country a moment longer. Because why do we want an ideology that's based on lies and deceit? We don't. It just makes for trouble all round, and we're better off without it. Islam has nothing good for the benefit of humanity, and if it can only exist by promoting itself on the basis of lies and deceit, why do we need it? We don't.
How does it benefit this country? I don't get it.
Well, it doesn't. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't.
Yeah, it does not, no.
No. And it only exists because Muslims promote it on the back of lies and deceit. And we are, I use the word gullible, we swallow it, but we swallow it because we're open and tolerant people. And we tend to believe what people tell us unless we have good reason not to. And at the moment, we're being far too trusting towards Muslims, and that trust is misplaced because Muslims routinely lie to non-Muslims about the nature of Islam. And if that fact were widely known, as it should be, then we wouldn't stand for Islam in this country a minute longer. We wouldn't stand for it. But that fact is not yet widely known. But that's why I think this particular judgment was so important, because it's a step
And I would go as far as to say that what happened that day was about as important as when Geert Wilder was acquitted from the charges that was laid before him. I would say that I could, you know, I would say that is just as important a decision that was made in that court as with Geert Wilder with his case that was heard over. His case was heard over quite a while though, wasn't it? It was adjourned and then come back because there was a lot of, and he absolutely done a fantastic job, that gentleman did, and the same as yourself, Tim, you put everything before yourself, and you give it, you know, you told the truth of about it, and you wasn't going to be fazed by the prosecution, the racial slur throwing at you, this, that, and that. You weren't being fazed by it, and said no. Islam is not a race, and Muslims are not a race. I think that you put that over very well. About five or six times, I think you actually, sort of was throwing that way at you, wasn't he?
Well, that is true. But, yeah, I mean, a big shout-out is due to Professor Hans Jansen,
who gave expert
testimony on my behalf. And as you say, he was the gentleman who spoke on behalf of Geert Wilders. And, in fact, he was the only witness on behalf of Geert Wilders that was deemed to be independent enough to give testimony. And that just shows you what a man of high standing and high character
certainly
he is.
I mean, that's fantastic. And it had to be done. We had to have a case like this, Tim, that come along that really set the benchmark for any future cases that might come our way. Of a citizen's way, as what happened to yourself, Tim. You took the bull by the horns, not a cheap. It hasn't come, you know, at a very cheap price, has it, Tim? You know, anything to do with freedom and the fight and the good fight, always there is a price that has to be paid in hard cash in that. And I think most of us understand that. But what you did was a great victory for the anti-jihadist movement and for us all that stands against this ideology out there, Tim. and actually exposing Zakir as being a part of the Islamic ideology. And that Muslims, you cannot trust a Muslim to beat you honest, because they're told to lie. They're told not to take Jews and Christians as friends. So when people say, oh, he's my friend, and you can look at his face and quite honestly say, they're not your friend. They might smile at you, but they are not your friend. It tells her, how can they be your friend when it says there firmly, do not take Jews and Christians as your friends. They're friends of themselves, and then you can't be allowed to have them as your friends. That's what it says, doesn't it, Tim?
Well, it is. I mean, Quran chapter 5, verse 51. That's where you'll find that.
Yes.
And in a couple of other places as well. But that's the one that springs to mind. And as I say, all this is not widely known, and it ought to be known, because people often say to people like us, people who know nothing about Islam, will always find an excuse to say to people like ourselves that, you know, we should treat everybody the same. Well, no, because there is no goodwill from Muslims towards the rest of us because of the Islamic doctrine. As I've said on Liberty GB not 2 hours ago, Islamic doctrine has a developed theology of warfare. Islamic theology has a developed doctrine of warfare against non-believers that is eternal and valid for all times and all places. And if we don't keep that at the forefront of our minds, we are going to lose this war against Islam. We have to fight this war based on what is real, what is true. And what we are putting out there, the message that we are putting out there in the counter-jihad cause, you know, through organizations like the EDL and others, is that this is the case, and our political elites are pulling the wool over our eyes by telling us that it's not the case, and we have to make sure that reality prevails. It's a bit like the emperor's new clothes. You know, everybody went along for ages and ages and ages saying this is that the reality was not in fact real, and it took one small child to say, but it is real. You know, and in that way, you can liken the counter-jihad movement to that one small child, a voice saying, this is real, this is real, this is actually happening, and we need to respond in an adult, grown-up manner to reality and not live our lives based on fantasy-based policies.
Well, what can I say about that? You're so precise with that, Tim. And how did the show go, by the way? I forgot to ask you, how did the show go? I didn't realise until just a little while ago that he was doing the show this evening as well. My apologies, I'd love to have been there listening to a part of the show tonight. So how did it go, brother?
It went well. We overran our time a little bit, but it was such an interesting show that I don't think people will mind. Kel's got to do a little bit of editing on it, but nothing major. And I think that'll be back online for people to look at, in a few hours'
great
time.
Mate.
But I thought it was a great show, and hopefully you'll be able to listen to it not only on Blog Talk Radio later on, but in due course. It should appear on the Liberty GB website in YouTube format as well.
Yeah,
so
and you can listen to it on Blog Talk Radio right now. It's there to listen, but I would prefer that you wait until I can take it to Audacity and do a little bit of editing before I send it to Liberty GB on YouTube.
There you go.
Okay. Great,
but you know,
stuff.
Everybody's jumped to it now, to Kel, didn't you? Everybody's jumped to it. Quick. People are like that, aren't they? You know.
I'm fussy.
But as I say, I'm glad it went. Well, I've got Paul Alexander, it keeps making me laugh. Senility is unforgiving, Jeff. Paul. He keeps making me laugh tonight. Yeah, I've got to actually mention, and I don't know if we've got anybody here that was a part of the demonstration. We have some of our EDL lads go down to London. And the thing about it is, Tim, that it's not widely known that our lads really come under quite a severe attack. They held their own. It hasn't been. It's quite obvious that the papers don't print anything about it. But I'm hoping that we've got a couple of our lads that are going to come on tonight, because I had a long chat with Glenn and one of the guys, Colin, and how scary the situation was when they all poured out of the mosque, Tim. As we say, they come out like bats out of hell, you know, this hatred, hate-filled eyes. And you know the thing about it, at one stage, and it chills my blood when I was actually told this by the lads, that there was kids in front of these people, young kids, and what they were doing, they was pointing to our lads and lasses that was there and running their fingers across their throat, pointing at and running their fingers across their throat, and then we're going to chop your head off. This is kids. This is the indoctrination by these people. That these young kids, this is the hate they have for us. The kids the infidels.
Yeah, yeah.
The hatred that was in these kids' faces. You know, the guy said to me, it was just unbelievable, Jeff, to
well,
see
you,
these
you know,
kids.
Of course, with what Boris Johnson was saying only a couple of months ago, these are just the sort of kids that the police ought to be stepping in and taking away from their parents in order to de-radicalise them, put them with good Christian parents and make sure they're thoroughly de-radicalised. That's a perfect example. Why didn't the police step in and do just that?
Well, what had actually happened is, and I've got to speak up, you know, I don't like talking about other groups of, you know, other like splinter groups, but Britain's First was there, and Paul Golding and a few lads, they had the loudspeakers, this, that and the other, and went at the heart of problems when things started to get really heavy. One of the lads turned to them and said, well, what are you going to do? You're patriots. And they done no more. They jumped the barriers and stood with all our lads. Mm-hmm. My hat's off to them. I salute them. And a couple of the lads got arrested. The Britain's First, one of the guys who was driving the car, the car was attacked. One of the guys jumped out and looked one He was under attack, and he's just jumped out, and he's knocked this Muslim up in the air, like, you know. And the old Bill jumped on him. He was arrested, and a couple more. There's about three people arrested. But they was under attack, and they was fighting for their lives. And that's what they said. They said, we felt our lives. If they'd have broke through the police lines, if they'd have broke through, they thought that they would be dead. That's how bad it was. They thought they'd be tore to shreds. Mm. And that was by one of our ardent, a couple of our ardent seasoned EDL members. So that proves what we say, that these are barbarians that we're up against. But it did not faze them, our lads. They stood their ground, and you know that that's just who they are. You know, they're going to stand their ground no matter what, and they did. But I've got to salute the Britain's First, which we don't really comment on other groups normally, do we? But they stood with our lads. They sort of jumped in and being patriots, they just jumped in and was helping out. So there you go. I thought it was only right that I give a mention. But you know, we'll never be associated in it as, you know, as their ethos is totally different than ours. But they're patriots. They believe in the same things as us, but they've got different. You know, a different ethos of, you know, like their mission statements is different to ours. If you understand that, don't you guys? But what can I say? It just shows you when the going gets tough, people will come together, and it doesn't matter. Put away differences, and they will come together and stand as one. And that's what That's what happened Friday. And of course they won't be talking about that. They talk about all the other things, that the English Defence League was there and this, that and the other, and the Anjan Chowdhury spouting his hatred towards us, and what are they going to do? They're taking over the country, whether we like it or not. This was the message. We're taking over this country. You, the Kufar, will be under Islam's, under domination. This is the message that they was all spinning out there. So it just goes to show, yes, this is a hard-going fight. But I'll tell you what, we will prevail. There's no doubt about it. We will crush this scourge of theirs. They think that they're going to have their way. And they think that politics and that is the way that is actually standing in the way. But you know what? People will have enough of this crap out there and do something about it, positively as well. And there you go. And I thought, because I haven't seen any of the other lads, but hopefully Glenn might call in and he can give a proper debriefing. It's only right that we have one of the lads call in and can actually explain who was on the front ranks there. One of our foot soldiers and experienced this, but it was quite chilling. Like when I spoke to Glenn and I spoke to Colin, of the way that they was feeling, and can be scary, can't it, guys? But anyway, I thought I'd just like to just speak about what went on Friday, because we didn't hear nothing, did we? Let's be honest, guys. On the Friday show, I didn't know what had gone on, and I only really knew about all this, really. Yeah, so Saturday, when I was speaking to a couple of lads. Dave was there. Yeah, but I didn't get a chance to. I did try to give him a call, but I couldn't get through to him. Which was another phone that he was using, but I did try to. But as I say, I did speak to Glenn and I did speak to Colin and a couple of the other lads that was there. So there you go. So and I thought Sunday we would try to do more of a debriefing of exactly what went on Good Friday. So there you go. Anyway, I've taken up a lot of time to speak at that, but. I think it's only right that we put it out there exactly what went on and why there isn't no news about it. They do try to cover it up, don't they? They try to bury these type of stories, don't they, Tim? Have you noticed the way they try to bury them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was reading an article about that story on... Fahrenheit 211. I'm going to stick it in the chat rooms just for people to take a look at. I mean, it basically says what you were saying, but it's a fact that you're only going to get the news from alternative media sources. You are not going to get it from the mainstream media. They will not want to report on things like this that might make or that might put Islam in a bad light. Well, it's no surprise, but anyway, I'm just going to post this anyway so that people in the chat room can see it, and then you can make your minds up yourselves. But I think everything that Jeff's said is right on the money. So this just goes, this confirms in many ways what Jeff has said, from an independent source. And I'm quite certain I would believe this guy, the guy that writes the Fahrenheit 211 blog, over everything that the mainstream media has to say about it or doesn't have to say about it. So there you go. I popped it in the chat room. I don't know what Paul Alexander's doing. He looks like he's just fallen victim to the Matrix or something like that. There's a whole bunch of characters gone in the chat room, which I can't read at all. So,
unless it's just, I don't know. What's that?
Unless it's just my browser.
No, it's
looks
not.
Like
there's I don't know, Paul, I don't know what's going on there, mate. We, it's like you're spamming all these numbers. Is it code? Is it code, mate?
In the Matrix, no one can hear you scream. Yes. Okay.
So, yeah, I noticed that because I just, as you were talking about it, I quickly come from the studio into the chat room. I don't know what that is about, Paul, but as I say, we've got a lot of numbers in front of us. And we must get a... Tim, have you got the code book there, mate? Have you got your code book?
I'm just looking at it now. It's been delivered to me by carrier pigeon just as we speak, and I'm just working my way. It's one of the Bletchley Park carrier pigeons. So I've run out of bloody pigeon seed as well. Oh dear, terrible.
I was just thinking as well, if we're going to be cracking slogans or logos in a show tonight, then maybe I'd like to put one out there. I look forward to the day when I can walk into the East London Mosque and just look at them all and just say, I have come here to eat a bacon sarnie and kick ass, and I've just finished the sarnie.
For a moment, I thought you were going to say something like... I've come here to eat a bacon sarnie and kick ass, but first, I'd like to ask you if you're paying too much for your mobile phone contract. Talk to him. It's halal,
yeah,
pal.
Well, and then finish my lovely bacon sarnie. I'll tell you something, guys, right? Jeff knows this as well. Jeff, how much tomato sauce do I put on a bacon sarnie?
A lot.
I completely cover it. I don't know why, guys. When it comes to bacon tomatoes, I think they're a beautiful mix.
Mm. Well, everybody to their own. See, Tom, you know what I mean? I like a little bit of English
mustard. Yeah, we know
mustard.
About that, Jeff. Oh, sorry.
Then behave yourself.
Oh, yes, Tim. Tim, I am reminded... I'll tell you something, Tim. I remember the time when Jeff came on this radio show a few years ago and he goes, oh, I'll tell you what I did Saturday night, guys. I woke up in this woman's bed and her husband walked in and I got up and just said to him, I'm not here to provoke anybody. I'm here just to defend... I'm here to defend the Christian rights of the pastor and that, and that's why I'm here today, and that's why
and
a lot of
I'm standing here
today.
Erect. Yes, I know, Tom. I'm standing here erect before you.
It was
a
man of the people.
It was a little bit.
This is a family show, ladies and gentlemen. This is a family show.
Yeah, we've gone past. We're now in the over 18 part of the show.
Just as well, really, isn't it? Just as well.
Tim, you're on form tonight as well.
It was a little bit different, wasn't it, Jeff? Because we normally go to opposed mosques and things.
I've had something just pop up then. No, I had one of these Toshiba things pop up and said, do you want to do this? Or no, I know your train of thought there, Tim. I could read your mind then.
No, you couldn't.
I've got to know you now, Tim.
I do have something I would like to put out there to our audience this evening. Guys, when you go onto YouTube now, how many of you get that singlemuslim.com advert coming on?
I don't know.
If you go onto YouTube now and you watch a video, you always get an ad saying singlemuslim.com.
Oh, now, yeah, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, Tim, why is this happening? Why are they doing that? It seems like it's promoting this bloody Islamic scourge
well,
and that. And...
I don't know about YouTube. What I do know is that there are certain programs that trawl your internet interactions. I mean, I'm thinking of Gmail in particular, and I've noticed this in the past. If you talk about a particular subject on Gmail, what happens is the next time you log on to your internet browser, you'll get all sorts of ads relating to the subject that you happen to be talking about maybe a day or two previously. And that's not, it doesn't just restrict itself to Gmail. It goes all through your browser, and every window that you open, you start seeing little ads relating to the subject you were talking about. So I suppose it's possible that these kind of programs, that these bots, they call them internet bots, they trawl around looking for keywords. And, of course, people like us, I should think, in our communications mention Islam occasionally, once or twice, perhaps, maybe.
Occasionally.
Yeah, and so what will happen is that you'll start to get Muslim-related adverts popping up every now and again, and it depends which of these internet bots has picked up your keyword, but Gmail is notorious for it. And,
yeah.
You know, there's actually been complaints made to Gmail about it, and allegedly Gmail have been losing a lot of business because this is so prevalent, you know, and it's an invasion of privacy. Even if there's not real people looking at your emails, it's only these internet bots, it's still an unnerving feeling, you know, to find out, you know, when you've been talking about Viagra, I mean, allegedly talking about Viagra, supposedly that somebody else, not me, has been talking about, not me at all, to see these ads Viagra then popping up in, I mean, not me, not that I get these adverts popping up.
Yeah, I think that's what Viagra's for, makes things pop up, doesn't it, Tim?
Well, exactly.
It's good for ironing your shirt as well. It stiffens the collar, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you've got to swallow it quickly because otherwise you get a stiff collar. But yeah, you've got to, you have to. That is the reasoning behind it. It's these internet bots that are everywhere and they're picking up on keywords, and that's why you're seeing these things. So there you go.
Yeah.
A little bit of
Don't they still do cookies? Yahoo and Hotmail and all that. I know they do a lot of them, don't they?
Well, cookies are only really applicable from one when you go onto a specific website, and then that specific website will put cookies on your machine. But that's not quite the same thing as with internet bots. These internet bots will pick up on your keywords, and you'll find that not just that website will recognise you, but all sorts of other websites will get the appropriate information that allows them to display advertisements which will be appropriate to the keywords that they've picked up. But, it's the next step on, if you like, from what used to be cookies. Used to be a way of having websites recognise your interaction with that website as being a return customer, if you like. But internet bots go one step further.
It's interesting, just in case people wonder why. So it's good for an explanation on some of these issues that, as Tommy said, they keep popping up. he might be looking at saying, and it's these adverts for Asian women, you know, blah, 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 you know, if you want to meet Asian women. And I've noticed that myself when I've been looking on things that these. So that is the case, then, Tim. That is what we're finding, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's basically it. Yeah.
So yeah, well, as I say, that's something. As I say, we do like to educate people and just give them put them in the know a little bit the reason why they've been looking at things and they come across these adverts. That's the reason behind it, because these bots at work following you around, basically, isn't it? That's the case, Tim. So there you go.
Yeah.
That's something that we've firmly established, that the bots are at work in the background. But,
bots,
yeah.
Jihad.
Yeah, well, there you go, Tim, Tommy. But I was going to say, Kel, I think I need to probably take a break in a minute. I'm just looking at the time and I probably need to refresh my...
Oh, of course, I'm very happy to be good for something here, honey. And we do have a song, and we'll see everybody back here in a few moments. And I'm just going to bring it up, and I'm trying to think where I put it, Jeff. My apologies. I was just so enthralled in what you guys were talking about, actually.
Come off it. I know exactly what you were thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just sitting in the back row eating my popcorn. Pinging it at the back of your head.
Oh, poor old Tim. I've just noticed, Tim, you've got popcorn in your hair, pal.
Yeah, I know. I've got a ton of it. I look like a walking popcorn box.
If it's salted popcorn, you know, send some this way.
Hey, yeah. Yes,
anyway.
No,
okay, Jeff. Jeff, you have... Yeah. You do have to call back in, and I do have a song here, but believe me, the next time we take a break, I'm going to play It's a Man's World, but for now, what we're going to play is a song by the Proclaimers, and we'll see everybody back here in 3.5 moments.
There's a story behind this as well, isn't there, Kel?
Yep, there is.
When I wake up, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who wakes up next to you. When I go out, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. If I get drunk, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who gets drunk next to you. And if I heave up, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who's heaving to you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more to be the man who walked 1,000 miles and called out at the door.
When I'm working, yes, I know I'm gonna be the man who's working hard for you. And when the money comes in for the work I do, I'll pass almost every penny on to you. When I come home,
I started talking and I realised I was muted. Welcome back, guys. Thank you, Kel. Kel, there's a story behind that tune, isn't there? Maybe you'd like to explain a little bit.
Well, Jeff and I were talking earlier today, and we were talking about the demos and the rallies and the meet and greets, and I was saying to Jeff that if I could be there in England, that I would walk 5,000 miles because, as everybody knows, I'm in Canada, and there's this pesky little thing called the Atlantic Ocean separating me from England and my love, and that I love my mother country, and that it would be wonderful if I could find that damn plug in that pesky Atlantic Ocean, and I would walk 5,000 miles. to be
there
with you.
You go. And I really want you two to explain that to the listeners, the reason why we talked about that tune, didn't we? The reasoning behind it. So there you go, because, you know, times I talk to Kel and she said, oh, I'd love to be at the demonstrations with, you know, with all the lads and the lasses, the angels and that. And then we was talking about it, and she said, oh, I think I might play it. This tune, Jeff, and she told me boy, it was my brother. You know what, that's a good idea, ladies and gentlemen. So there's always a reason behind certain things that we do, isn't there, Kel? So there you go. So we just thought we'd explain a little bit. But have we got any stories that we want to relate? Have we got any stories there, Kel, that we can be speaking about for this evening? Because
we do.
Have we? Oh, cool. Great, Kel.
We have quite a few stories, actually. Like, it's amazing what crosses our desks. It's just unbelievable. Actually, I got this from Paul Alexander. I got this from his website, and this is Paul Alexander, Defender of Faith, Guardian of Truth. And I'm going to put link in the chat room right now, so bear with me for a moment. With great thanks to Paul Alexander for this.
Thank you, bro.
And this is rather disconcerting, in that the New York Police Department, they have disbanded the unit that so-called spied on Muslims, and this is from CNN. There's a controversial New York Police Department surveillance unit that cataloged information on Muslim communities, and it has been disbanded. Now, this is according to the department. The New York City Police Department Demographics Unit, or Zone Assessment Unit, was developed with the CIA's help after the September 11, 2001 attacks. The unit has acknowledged that it engaged in monitoring that included Muslim-owned businesses and mosques across the New York region and has been the target of controversy in civil lawsuits. The Zone Assessment Unit, previously referred to as the Demographics Unit, has been largely inactive since January, the department said in a statement on Tuesday, this past Tuesday. Recently, as part of an ongoing assessment of Intelligence Bureau operations, personnel assigned to the Zone Assessment Unit were reassigned to other duties within the Intelligence Bureau. Now, the statement continues, Jeff. Understanding certain local demographics can be a useful factor when assessing information regarding potential threats coming to the attention of the New York City Police Department. It has been determined that such and much of the same information previously gathered by the Zone Assessment Unit may be obtained through direct outreach by the NYPD to the communities concerned. Now, there were two advocacy groups that filed a lawsuit challenging the unit and its activities, and they said that they were pleased that it had been disbanded, but they want to ensure full stop, that the surveillance stops. And this comes, of course, from the Council of American Islamic Relations.
Yeah, of and course. Where did we think the pressure come from, Kel? It's quite obvious that they come under the spotlight.
And it comes from the Muslim advocates of the Center for Constitutional Rights.
It makes you laugh, doesn't it? Well, it does, doesn't it, Kel? You know, the constitutional rights. And these people are trying to destroy from within. They're going about it. They are attacking things that's put in place to protect the citizens of the country, keeping a close eye on these mosques, which we know a lot of them are training bloody centres for terrorists. We know that it's quite obvious, and it's just a shame that they've had to step down from doing what a great job that they was doing. Now, what's going to happen I just hope and pray that there's not some sort of attack and that information could have been gained from the, from that unit that was set up specially for keeping a close eye on things and monitoring things. What's the outrage going to be if something happens, God forbidding? But they have really left themselves open to all sorts of deviousness that could happen. We could have some sort of atrocities. And the, a lot of these people say, "What? We're free to do what we was, what our plans we had to put on hold for a while. Now we haven't got them looking in. Now we can go on with the business of what we was planning." So, my goodness me, it's a very dangerous precedent that's been put out there, isn't it? Very dangerous. Common sense has gone right out the window, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and the article continues that, you know, this is, you know, Care Canada again, and the Center for Constitutional Rights, i.e. the Muslim Advocates, and there was a lawsuit, actually. It was dismissed in February, but it's under appeal, and the suit is called Hassan versus the City of New York. And the New York chapter of the Council on American-Islamic Relations and echoed the sentiments that they were very happy that the surveillance initiative was shut down. They went on to say, verbatim, "This is an important first step. However, the damage of unconstitutional mass spying on people solely on the basis of their religion has already been carried out and must be addressed." And this is from the board of directors. He's the board president, actually. His name is Ryan Mahoney. Now, this decision, Jeff, and the city's move to drop an appeal of a federal judge's August ruling that the controversial stop-and-frisk practice violated the Constitution and are seen as signs of changes in the way the city operates. Mayor Bill de Blasio and Police Commissioner William Bratton have replaced former Mayor Mike Bloomberg and former Commissioner Ray Kelly. And Ray Kelly was the startup of this surveillance and this task force to ensure that these mosques would be under surveillance, and which is not a bad idea. I think that the mosques, all mosques, should be under surveillance. But CARE went on to say that our administration has promised the people of New York a police force that, oh, actually, you know what? It's the current mayor that is saying this, so my apologies to your listeners, Jeff. Our administration has promised the people of New York a police force that keeps our city safe, but that is also respectful and fair. This reform is a critical step forward in easing tensions between the police and the communities they serve, so that our cops and our citizens can help one another go after the real bad boys. And this is from de Blasio, the current mayor of New York City. And this is
appeasement. To me, it stinks of appeasement. And I don't know what you think about it, Kel, but I know you're
you know what I think about it. Come on. You know exactly what I think about this. It's claptrap.
Yeah, it is. It's it's appeasing because they don't want to cause any disruption with the bloody these Muslims going about their business, whatever they might be doing. But now, and of course now they've stopped this the search thing as well. I don't know that. I don't know. Maybe Tim. Your views,
yeah.
Right?
Well,
I'm flummoxed.
Where to start? I've identified at least three things in that article that I think need highlighting. The first one is the sentence, the last sentence that Kel read out about the reform is being touted as a step forward in easing tensions between the police and the communities they serve, so that the cops and the citizens can help one another go after the real bad guys. Well, this would be fine if it were still the case that all the citizens of that particular city, I mean, not that specific city, but we're talking about one city, and the conditions will apply in other cities just as much. This would be fine if all the citizens had equal amounts of goodwill towards each other and towards the police force. But of course we know, because of what I was saying previously, that when Muslims are involved, this is just not the case. Islamic doctrine mitigates against Muslims being friends with non-Muslims or helping them in any way if the non-Muslims' goals differ in any way from Muslim goals. And this is obviously a case where they would differ, because the whole reason that the community would have had surveillance set up in the first place would be that Muslims have fallen under suspicion for a variety of intelligence reasons. And that brings me to the point further up in the article where it referred to much of the same information. This is another reason for getting rid of the zone assessment unit, was that much of the same information previously gathered by the zone assessment unit can be obtained through direct outreach by the New York Police Department to the communities concerned. Well, that might be true. You might well get a lot of information through direct outreach, but there's always going to be some information that you can't. I mean, that's why you have detectives. That's why you have undercover operatives. That's why you have surveillance systems in place at all, because there are always going to be things that you cannot get through direct outreach. So saying that some of the information can be obtained through direct outreach is of no relevance at all. And it's the information that you can't get through direct outreach that you need to assign to the surveillance units, the undercover operatives or undercover detectives, so that they can get that information and make use of it in a way that you can't do through direct outreach. And the last thing I wanted to mention about the article was to do with, again, describing, I'm just trying to find the paragraph. Just one second, I'll be right with you. They were talking about it's unfair to target people because of their religion. Well, the problem is not so much targeting people because of their religion. The problem is allocating the status of religion to what is in fact a totalitarian ideology totally at odds with the goals of the rest of the community. And this is what I was talking about before, in if you persist in pursuing policies based on fantasy rather than reality, you are going to get absolutely nowhere. And this is why we are getting nowhere in solving the problem of Islam, because people in authority insist on referring to it still as a religion when it is not, and refusing to categorize it as a totalitarian ideology that is rapidly becoming a national security issue. Now, if it were dealt with in those terms, we could immediately clamp down on the problem and take away at a moment's, well, not quite a moment's notice, but you would create the environment where you could take effective action very, very quickly. And it's the refusal of our political elites to recategorize Islam in the way that it should be, as a political ideology rather than a religion, that gives rise to all the other problems. Everybody is dancing around the real problem in this article, which is Muslims are complaining they're being targeted on because of their religion. Well, they're not. They're being targeted because they are part of a totalitarian, subversive ideology that is a threat to national security. It's bugger all to do with religion. And if they persist in pursuing that sort of policy on that basis, they're never going to get anywhere. And the same is true, not just in New York City, but in any other big city where you've got a significant proportion of Muslims. The problems will be exactly the same.
Yeah. I would agree, and I'll go as far as saying,
that this care and to do with these Islamic groups out there ought to be shut down, because we know they're part of the Muslim Brotherhood. And as I say now, the Muslim Brotherhood is coming under spotlight. And it's time we shut them up as well, because they are all part of the parcel, aren't they, Tim? That's what should be done now. All the talk is that we're seeing some positive things coming out now. People are actually speaking out against it. So I think the way forward now is to shut these people up, these people who care, who's put this group under pressure. That's the reason why they've closed down. It's nothing to do with anything else but care, putting them under pressure. We know that care does that to all other people out there. I think most people associated with what we do have come under the auspices of the care outfit out there. Look at all the people at the websites, some of the people that we know have come under the spotlight and have had to close their websites and this, that and the other. It's because of care. Time we got shut up, because care is the Muslim Brotherhood. It's all part and parcel, and people should start to understand that that is the case. And all the time we got this group out there called themselves Care, which is really Muslim Brotherhood, we're going to have these problems. And, as you say, national security of the country is left wide open for these people to go about their devious business. And God knows, I mean, I just hope and I pray, as I say, that nothing happens untoward because of the surveillance of has been stopped due to care putting this this group under attack. And I'd like to pass it to Kel. Myself and Tim, how would you like to react as well on that?
Well, you know, in just reading this article, reiterating it, it shocks me, and I've actually been paying to the chat room as well, and that there are really, really, really interesting developments going on in the United States, in particular, in that. They have honest societies within the Islamic community, and they want to talk about honesty within the Islamic community. And I honestly don't know what to say about that or how to respond to that when that they want to have honest dialogue.
Now, honest dialogue, you believe it, Kel?
Yeah, I just don't. I'm kind of breathless because I don't know how to respond to that, Jess. Like, it's just absolutely insanity. But, yeah, getting back to this article at hand, it is, you know, everybody seems to be in a celebratory mood, and that the New York Police Department unit that was spying, well, they call it spying. I call it monitoring, of course.
Yeah.
It's been disbanded, but every left-wing nut job is out there saying, oh, wow, this is a great day for America. No, it's not. It's a fucking terrible day for America. Like, are you people out of your minds? Are you out of your minds, really? You want to disband an elite unit that is monitoring what's going on in mosques? This is what we're working on. We're working on this. We are working on getting inside those mosques, and we are trying to understand what goes on within them. And now this unit has been dismantled. Of all places, New York City, 2001 was not enough for you? God, Jesus, I don't know what to say. Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jeff. I'm losing it. It's just when I love Paul Alexander's blog, and that's Defender of Faith, Guardian of Truth, by the way, people. And when I came across this story, I just couldn't. I was beside myself. And people, like, there's all sorts of people. Please do go to this clip, okay? Because it's full. Paul has. Hang on, Jeff. Oh, shit. Hang on. There's all sorts of clips in there, and I'm sorry. Like, there's a really good one with Glenn Caton in there, and he belongs to the MuslimAdvocates.org. And it's 9 minutes long. So bookmark that link, guys, and listen to that clip later on. I sure did. And there is another one here with advocacy groups talking about spying on Muslims. And that one's 5 minutes long. And then there's another one about how they are teaching people how to pray in the mosques in New York City. That one is a minute and a half long. So please bookmark this link and look at these links. But Jeff, I'm just beside myself. I cannot stand this.
Yeah.
I cannot stand the dinitude. This is absolutely beyond the pale with me, because first, we know what happened in 2001. We know what happened on September 11th in 2001. We know what happened on 7/7 in the UK. And we know what happened in Spain in, I believe that was 2004. If I'm wrong, somebody can correct me. But all this same, these Muslims are about, and they're creating havoc, and they are they're recruiting in the mosques. The mosques are recruiting centers for Shaheeds. That's what I refer to them as. These, 16 to 30-year-old Muslim men, they're Shaheeds. They're Shaheeds. That's what they are. And we had a real great chance of monitoring these mosques, and that was shut down. We lost the battle again. We're still at war. We'll win this war.
We're not
going to
win.
But this
like
is just another battle that we lost.
I mean, it is, because it doesn't seem that care puts people under pressure like that. And before you know it, it's been disbanded. It's quite obvious that this is a part of the war. That this one of the battles that we've lost. Sometimes we get the small victories. We need more victories, because they are really coming at us fast and fast now. And I think we do need to really start to step it up a little bit. Tim, would you like to... I heard you in the background there, Tim. Would you like to step in there, mate?
Well, no, I was only going to agree with everything that had been said so far. The point is that everything that is said in this article that applies to New York City applies everywhere else as well, because everywhere that Muslims go, the problems are the same. The kind of chaos that they create follows a pattern wherever they go, and you can pretty much predict by the kind of chaos they happen to be causing at a particular point in time. You can kind of predict what their level in the population is, because as the percentage population of Muslims go up, the chaos just escalates from one level to another. So where you see these problems in New York City, they're by no means restricted to New York City. I mean, here in Birmingham, we had a very similar thing 2 or 3 years ago, where the police in Birmingham wanted to enact or to put into place a whole series of surveillance cameras throughout the Jihadi Central, which is the part of Birmingham where Muslims tend to be most in percentage of the population, and the Muslims, of course, weren't happy about this, and they actually applied political pressure and had those cameras removed, saying that, you know, it demonized Muslims. Oh, same old stories, Islamophobia, racism, demonizing Muslims, turning Muslims into victims. Well, shut the fuck up already. They are not victims. Muslims are never victims. Muslims are invariably the cause of the problems that exist in these communities. And what we saw in Birmingham is no different from what we're seeing now in New York City. If Muslims perceive that their actions are being monitored and The activities are not going unnoticed by the local police. Instead of cooperating with the local police force in order to allay suspicions of the host population, they start claiming victimhood and claiming that they're being put upon and picked on because of their so-called fragile religion. That's obviously what we're targeting. Well, we're not. We're targeting you because you are antisocial, criminal, seditious, treasonous fuckwits. That's why we're targeting you. And Muslims are going to have to accept that, or they're going to get their ass kicked in the very near future.
Well, the thing about it is, Tim, is what they're doing with playing the victim is all a part of the jihad. The victimhood, this has been going on for century upon century. They cause mayhem. And because people go after them and they start getting their arses whipped, they cry victim, victimisation, this, that, and the other, because we're Muslims. But, we see some stories where some of the people in the world, the Buddhists, stood up against them, went against them because, their kids were being raped and people were being butchered, and they stood up and they went after them and they started to take them down. And it was all victim, and the whole press wanted to relay that, look at these Buddhists, what are they doing to these poor Muslims? Yes, it's the victimhood. It is all a part of the jihad, isn't it, Tim? We've got to all the aspects, what makes this ideology tick. This is the reason why it has become such a threat, because it's devious. It has its plan. This is a plan that's put in place. And all it is all these bits and pieces now are coming together, this 20-year plan, which I think they're very, very close to achieving. If people let it go the way it is, who can tell? I do believe that a lot of the world's woken up. I think what we've done over the time, Tim, and other people, God bless everybody, thank goodness there are the people out there that have seen this threat and are doing something about it positively. Maybe we can stem this flow. Maybe we can kick their arses back to the bloody sandpits where they belong. Because it will take a crusade, whether they like it or not. Yes, there will be a crusade against you, because you are driving us to it. You've got your global jihad. We'll have our final crusade. And it'll be the same story. We will whip your backside. So you keep pushing us. You keep pushing us, and you will see a final crusade, the real thing, the real deal, a global crusade.
Yeah, but the
you.
Thing I have a problem with is that if we declare a formal crusade, don't we need to have the approval of the Vatican?
We certainly do, Kel. We certainly
and
do.
And you think this current pope will grant... Do you think he'll sanction a formal crusade?
I don't think he would personally.
We're dealing
I
with
think
Pope Francis here, after all.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think that's debatable, Kel. I don't know, Tim, your views as well. We'd like to do this as a bit of a team, how we perceive things the way that they could be.
Well, I just want to, if I can wrap up my point, Jeff, is that if we have a crusade, that is something, but it would be informal. I mean, we would never have a formal crusade because this current pope would never sanction it because Pope Francis is totally into ecumenical, and that he is the current pope that is really gunning for cohesiveness amongst all the religions. And the pope before him, Pope Benedict, wasn't much better, and that he actually washed the feet of Muslima prisoners. So I really don't have a whole lot of faith within the Vatican, and I cannot see a sanction for a formal crusade, if that's what you're calling for.
It may not come like that, though, mightn't it, Kel? It might be, the people, because the way that they've been indoctrinated themselves and scared, maybe, that they don't want to really start the whirlwind rolling. Maybe that could be the case. you know, they got a, there's a global jihad against us, and they take offence if we say that you know, you keep pushing, and there will be a crusade against you. Why shouldn't we call for a crusade then? If that's the case, they've got a global jihad that's raging throughout the globe.
Okay, I mean, that could probably be a really good topic on a standalone. And maybe Agador has something to say about that. And hi, Agador. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Agador.
Yeah, greetings, Kel and Jeff and Tim. And yes, you
happy
know,
Easter, brother.
Yeah,
yeah.
Happy Easter,
Easter
to all of you, and happy Passover to our Jewish friends as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Kel, when you read that article, I just have to say about de Blasio, who is a complete, you know, piece of poo, in reference to that video I sent you earlier. First of all, I think the Pope is in that things can't be this bad category. I think he just doesn't realize how bad things really are. Most people don't. And that's why they put up with de Blasio taking off the observation unit from NYC. I really think that there are people even in the UK where this stuff is really in your face. There are people who say, "God, you know, guys, things can't be this bad. They just can't be," and they don't realize that they are. You know, I keep saying in my shows, just look at Lebanon. And you know, tell me if things can't get that bad. But I think it's a combination of fear and a small part laziness, and also a small part that people have been duped for so long that they just don't want to understand that yes, things can get this bad, and that it is time to act. It's time to act in all of the West.
Yeah, I was going to say. Okay, that brought me on to the, you know, what happened Friday Saturday when I was at that meet and greet. And as I say, I was talking to Colin, and he said, this felt like something you'd see out in, you know, sort of in the Middle East. This, thousands upon thousands. You felt like you was in another country. That's how bad it felt. He said the intimidation, young kiddies in the front there. These really young kids running their fingers across their throat, and they're going chop chop, sort of thing, and they're all doing it in our people's faces. Like this is, and that was a shocking thing. What I spoke to a couple of the lads that was there, and that was the shocking thing. It was just so much the adults. What they was just bad now, but having young kids. Is what we've talked about before, this total hatred towards us, the kufar, the infidel. It shocked. I think it shocked even our seasoned, hardened people that attend the demos, how bad things really are. And when it's there in your face like that, something has to be done about this. It's got to be done. And I do believe it won't be without the lack of blood flowing on our streets as well. And that this is what they said to me as well. Take it from me. They said if it wasn't for the police was doing a pretty good job. If they'd have broke through their lines, they said to me, we feared for our lives. We could have died. We could have been ripped to pieces. So Agador, you know, and that was from people who were pretty, you know, they've been in some situation before, but they really felt, and if it wasn't for, as I say, I've got to say that Britain's First, who was there, who was speaking out and doing similar to what we were doing, their megaphones, this, that, and the other, you know, what were you going to do? Because it was really getting heavy duty. They jumped the barriers and they stood with our lads and lasses, stood there and stood the ground with us. But it was a scary time. So this is what we. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we're experiencing. Being a part of the English Defence League, when we oppose people like Anjan Chowdhury and those merry lot, this is what that we're up against now, that things are becoming quite dire in some situation. We could have lost some of our lads and lasses, but this is it. But it does not... to put one step back. They didn't put one step back because you just don't do it. You just stand your ground. And even though it's scary, your heart races, you know that you're doing the right thing. And but there you go. It's something that, as you were talking, Agatha, I was thinking about. And, of course, also, just to give you a bit of an heads up, they only started all this bloody bums up in the air bit praying in the middle of the street, guys. They got a mosque there, and they started praying again in the middle of the street, blocking the highway. It was totally... Glenn nearly got arrested because he said, look, they're blocking the highway, for goodness sake. And they was going to arrest Glenn because he was speaking out against it. So there you go, guys. This is what we've got going on in the United Kingdom. Easter Friday. You speak out and these people just... It's chaos. It is chaos. So there you go. I'm sorry to take... it's so good to have you on the show this evening, Agador. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Yes, Agador had quite the role going on there, Jeff. I was enjoying what he had to say.
Well, I tell you, what you're talking about, what you're describing, Jeff, and, you know, it really would be good to get some of the lads who were there to describe this. I mean, this is a kind of hate that is being taught in these mosques, and not just there, but here in the States, too. If there are any Americans listening to this, guys, you know, this is going on here in the States. And this is from a guy, let me tell you, you know, you're going to get, now this is from a guy that's very happy to have grown up in the time of the civil rights movement. I thank God that things are not now as an adult for this country and for the rest of the West as they were when I was a kid. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, you know, in the 60s, black people couldn't even eat at the same lunch counters as white people. You know, there were. Quite honestly, terrorists taking peaceful black protesters out of buses and things and beating the crap out of them, and sometimes worse. There were lynchings and things like that. We got beyond all of that, and we moved to a point where a black man ran for president, and we voted for him or didn't vote for him based on his stance on the issues, not the color of his skin. We have come a long way when it comes to the subject of race. So don't roll up on us and say that anti-jihadis are racist. We are against the racist. The anti-jihad movement is a civil rights movement. It's a civil rights movement for all of the people of all colors and all religions who want to live together in peace. And against a savage ideology that cloaks itself in religion while planning for the destruction of the entire Western civilization so they can supplant their honestly evil civilization in its place. This is for all of us. This is for people, this is for conservatives, for Labor Party people. This is for even for Green Party people. This is for everyone. The EDL is on the front lines. And my brothers and sisters in the United States of America, you need to take note of this because it's in their face, and in a very few years, it's going to be in your face. Okay, sorry. I lost it there.
No, Agador, thank you. Thank you
great.
So much. You're brilliant, and it's lovely to hear you on a roll as well. And you come, and it's good to hear other people venting with the same feelings as yourself. So, Agador, God bless you, brother. Really appreciate it. So, vent some more. I can't vent some more. It's good to vent. It just really points out exactly the situation. What we've got, as you say, Agador, not too distant future. You could all have it definitely coming your way. Probably a lot sooner than what you'd think. So, Kel, your views?
What exactly do you want my view on?
What me and Agatha was talking about, sorry.
Oh, I know. I mean, there are so many talking points. I don't even know where to begin.
I know.
And it's just amazing, Agatha, what is going on, especially in the United States, when I see what's going on in the United States. And It's happening in Canada too. Of course, I mean, it's already happened in the UK. It's what can I say, Jeff? I'm passing the mic back to you because I honestly don't know where to begin.
Well, can I jump in here?
Oh,
yes,
please
do.
Okay. First of all, I think Agador is right on the money when he frames this entire conflict in the form of a civil rights movement. And in fact, I've given that a little bit of thought because you mentioned it in the chat room right at the start of the show, and I was thinking about it on and off during the course of the show. And I think there's a lot to be said for using that terminology, because if you look, I mean, when you talk about civil rights, I suppose a lot of people think about the civil rights movement that existed maybe about 50 years ago, and Agador was referring to, in particularly in America, when there was conflict between black and white. Well, this is not what we have at the moment. Is not a race issue at all. It's not a black versus white, although there are plenty of people on the left who will try and make it into a black versus white issue in order to paint us as racist. But it's not a racial issue. It's an ideological issue. And if it's framed in terms of civil rights, and we explain to people that it is a civil rights movement where we are fighting for the civil rights of all people of goodwill, which is to say non-Muslims, and we're doing it in the face of an ideology that would crush everything that's good about the human spirit and replace our civilization with a barbaric 7th century environment, people can maybe identify with that a little bit more if it's framed in terms of civil rights, because when we use the term counter-jihad, although it is an accurate term, a lot of people think, well, we're against something because it's got the word counter in it. And, all right, jihad, well, of course, if you talk to any Muslim, you know that jihad is a peaceful interior struggle and nothing to do with violent warfare at all.
Right.
So, of course, us counter-jihadists are nothing but bigoted racists because we're opposing a peaceful spiritual struggle. That's the internal mindset of the people on the left, okay? But if we frame it as a civil rights issue, And we emphasize that we are fighting for the civil rights of humanity against an ideology that would crush humanity, basically, I think we'll win a lot more converts. And in fact, you've reminded me of something that Eric Allen Bell said not too long ago. It might have been about 9 or 10 months ago, and he put an article on YouTube, which I did link to, and I haven't got that link right in front of me now, but if you Google Eric Allen Bell, you will find, in fact, Kel was probably doing this even as we speak, because she's
interviewed him about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, well, he's got a video which is about 5 minutes long. It was on YouTube about a year ago. I don't know if it's still there, but if you've got that link, or if you can find that link, Kel, and drop it in the chat room. It does say about reframing the fight that we're currently in terms that it's all very well. In what we're doing, we get conservative patriots on our side with no problem at all. What we have difficulty with doing is getting people who don't know much about Islam on our side. They don't necessarily describe themselves as conservative patriots. I think they would do if they really understood Islam and understood the implications of Islam and what it could do to our civilization if it's not checked or constrained in any way. But those people need to be reached in a slightly different language. And if you frame it in terms of civil rights, I think you can achieve a lot more with people who might not otherwise take on board what we're saying. Video by Eric Allen Bell is worth watching because it does. I think Kel has just dropped it into the into the chat room. Hopefully that's the one, because it's dated 2012, and I've a feeling that Eric Allen Bell's video was actually in 2013. So I don't know if that is actually the video I'm referring to. But if it isn't, I will try and find, in the time we've got left to us, I'll try and find the link. And if that isn't the one, I'll try and find it and drop it in the chat room. Just what I wanted to say, Agador. I think you're on the right lines with that. So I'll pass the mic back to Jeff. And while you carry on, Jeff, I'm going to see if I can take a look and see if I can find anything else to drop in the chat room for everybody.
Okay, and thank you, Kel, for being so quick as you was and putting that link in there as well. I was going to say, we are coming up to the last quarter of the show, and I was wondering, Kel, if you could possibly do a little bit of a roll call for the great guests that we've had in the chat room this evening, and for our listeners to hear who we've got.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight.
Oh, you betcha. Absolutely. First of all, I love this part because I get to remind you that you're listening to EDL Radio, and that's the English Defense League radio show, heard right here on Blog Talk Radio, and your host is Jeff Mitchell, and I'm Kel Fritzy of Red Fox Blogger and various other programs. I am Jeff's producer and co-host. And joining us tonight, as usual and always, is Tim, and that's Tim Burton of Cat Strangler 101. And Agador is joining us this evening, and we had Tommy English join us earlier, and those are the people in the chat room. But Jeff, in the studio, in the chat room, who we have is, oh, look at that, Agador.
Agador.
Double mention. But we have Kath with us. We have Dodgy Dave, EDL Minx, my lady, Eric Kyle, my man. We have some guests in here. We have Paul Alexander, my wonderful friend who put slides together for all of us. He's the one responsible for the F-bomb show that you can hear. Yep. Paul Alexander put a slide in there for me, and that's the Red Fox Blogger F-bomb show, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Got a plug in there, Jeff.
Why not?
We have Smokey.
Smokey.
Who's this person down here? Is that Liberty GB Radio?
Yeah, that's me. That's
me. I think that's Mr. Burton, yes.
And while you've been going through that excellent roll call, Kel, I have found the video that I was thinking about, the one that I'd previously...
Great.
I knew that I'd posted it, and hopefully that link is still good. I haven't checked. But he speaks about the counter-jihad and why all liberals should support it. And what he does, he actually frames the arguments in terms that liberals understand. And that's what I mean about using terms like civil rights, because it's something that it's still live, is it, that link? So there you go. That's the one you want.
Yep, the link is good, ladies and gentlemen. The link is good.
The link is good.
Yes,
the link is live.
Thank you, Tim, for that. Yep. Well, thank you, Kel, for the first link as well. It's something that, you know, our guests can check on the different links there. And that's what I love about having a chat room. Because when I first started, I didn't have a chat room, did I, Kel? She said, Jeff, you got a chat room. I said, what? What's that?
That was funny.
And I haven't looked back since, have I, Kel? I've got to thank everybody for being here this evening. As I say, it's Easter Sunday, and we have tried to be, we haven't tried to drop any too many F bombs tonight. Lord, if we have, when we do anything, we get a little bit angry and a little bit annoyed about certain things. It happens.
Oh, fuck,
we
I just dropped
it.
Them anyway.
Yeah, we make it worse, don't we?
Oh, come on. You guys, yeah, you have to listen to my Friday night show. That's the F-bomb show, definitely. And everybody shows up with a bottle of scotch. And the first one who can guess within when she's going to drop the F-bomb, they have to take a shot of whiskey or a shot of scotch.
Well, I was a little bit shocked one of the times before, Kelvis. I think you left it quite late in the show then when you dropped one. It was a...
No, you were late. Dropped it within 36 seconds.
Oh, my goodness.
I was going to say, we didn't even have a chance to set up the betting pool, and she was already off.
See what happens when you leave me to my own devices?
My goodness me, Kel. But anyway, I'd just like to thank everybody for being here tonight and some great information and great links that's been shared and a good little bit of conversations that goes on, you know, while we're talking about issues in the studio. So thank you guys so much for being here. And not forgetting, of course, about our great listening audience out there that listens to the shows. Thank you so much. Kel, what would we say? If there wasn't them, there wouldn't be us. So, thank
you. If there wasn't you, there wouldn't be us.
That's right. That is the case. So, thank you for your continued support. But, as I say, we're down to the last 10 minutes of the show tonight. And guess what, Kel? Guess what I haven't done tonight? I haven't read out the phone. No, we got a little sound bite here, haven't we? Oh, Kel, I can't find it. Where is it? Do I want to read the number out now? Because we won't be able to take any really calls coming in now, will we? We've got about 10 minutes left or something like that. But I don't know. Where is it? I can't find it. Oh, there you go. Well, anyway.
If you would like to join in the conversation and air your views, you can call us on Skype through Blog Talk Radio, which is free to use, or by dialing 001-858-777-5934. That's 001-858-777-5934. EDL Radio.
There you go.
And I just put the link in the chat room for everybody so that they can check out the photo of me and my F-bomb show. The one that Paul Alexander made for me. Red
Paul,
Fox
well
Blogger of Blog Talk Radio. Kel Fritzy, Red Fox Blogger, the F-bomb show.
Well, it's got its own title now, then, isn't it, Kel? You know, that's the thing about it. You've put it right up there, haven't you? You know, the F-bomb.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
totally gratuitous now because people expect it. But I slip it in there. But I do encourage people, when they listen to my Friday night show, bring your bottle of scotch. And every time I drop the F-bomb, you have to take a shot. And it's a whole lot of fun, Jess, because we are totally loaded by the end of that show.
Oh, yeah, I've been looking again. That is brilliant. Kel Frizzy, Red Fox Blogger, the F-bomb show.
EDL Minx is saying one bottle or two. And Dodgy Dave, yeah, it is. It's a great design. I love Paul Alexander for putting that together.
Yeah, Paul, well done. That is awesome. It really sells the show, doesn't it? It definitely grabs people. Oh, we've got to go and listen. Kel's going to be F-bombing tonight, so yeah, it's Friday. Bring a bottle of drink in as well.
Oh, for fuck's sake, no, I won't be.
Yeah, that's about the 10th one. My goodness me. So
we're drunk.
It's not even Friday.
That's it. Everybody just crack out the bottles of whiskey. That's it. Don't even take shots. Just drink right from the bottle.
Oh, what we like, eh? But anyway, we're down.
Eric Kyle, by the time we hit RC's place, we're wrecked, and RC, his show follows immediately after mine. Well, actually, he starts, I finish up, and RC is starting 30 minutes ago. And so by the time we all get there, it's like, hey, how you doing?
How you doing? Yeah.
What you wearing?
Kel asked me that every time, ladies and gentlemen. Every time I give her a call, saying, what you wearing?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Jeff phones me. It's like, what you wearing? Oh, we're terrible.
But it's fun.
Okay, you know what?
Fun.
Okay, let's deviate from this conversation before we lose all credibility.
Well.
Oh, I think that's an impossibility.
That.
I think we did.
But no, I'd like to thank you, Kel, for there's some brilliant slides there, ladies and gentlemen, if you check the slides. It's one of the at the meet and greet there, and there's some other great ones that Kel's put in there. So yeah, thank you so much for all the work you've done there, Kel. You're great producing. And as I say, Agador, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show, and it was good to hear you vent as well tonight a little bit, brother. I think it's the first time I've really heard you vent. And it was good.
Well, I held back a little bit, but thanks for having me on. You know, and yeah, I've got a few more things to say too, you know, at another time. So
there you go. Anytime, you know. Anytime, Agador, we love having you here. You know, as I say, you've always bring great conversation to the show. So, once again, thank you so much. Tim always cracks me up, Tim. Sleeking around. Sleeking.
My pleasure, as always.
Great. Thanks, Tim. I know that you've been a busy man tonight with the show that you did earlier, and then hot dogging it straight into the studio, and the way you get through
that's hot catting it straight into the studio, if you don't mind.
Yes, let's get it right.
Let's get it right. and another thing I wanted to ask you, Jeff, are you paying too much for your mobile phone contract? Try TalkTalk. It's not haram, it's halal, pal.
You guys are getting this all wrong. You can use the old song from Talk Talk. You know, try Talk Talk. It's my life.
I don't think I've
heard
that.
We're shamelessly promoting telephone companies and God knows what else tonight, aren't we, guys? But it's been fun. No, I'd like to thank you all for being here, part of the panel, part of the team. Everything you do. We always have a great time when we're all together, don't we? Kel dropping the F-bombs here, there and everywhere, and everybody giggling in the chat room. And at the same time, we did talk about some serious aspects tonight. So, and we'll be back again this Thursday. Hopefully, I was really hoping that we was going to have a couple of the lads on the show this evening, but never mind. Maybe we can draw them in and have them on the Thursday show so they can explain a little bit what it's like to be there in front of a crowd of screaming barbarians baying for your blood. So there you go. Hopefully we'll get the couple of the guys who's on the ground there and maybe on Thursday show. I'll have to have a chat to them in a week. So anyway, Kel, Tim, Agador, Tommy, everybody that's been associated with the radio show tonight, everybody in the chat room, thank you so much for your links and everything. So for myself, from us all, part of the team, English Defence League radio show team, take care, stay safe, God bless you, and for the rest of the holiday, enjoy the next day or so. So take care, stay safe, God bless you all. And not forgetting, that lady, once again, she's just told me, Kel, you have 90 seconds. No surrender. Come on, guys. No surrender.
No surrender
ever.
No surrender ever.
And we're going underground. Good night. And I've done it.
Come on.
That wasn't going underground. That was going around the bend.
I know. Here we go. We're going underground. Well, there you go. I've just got to say, oh my goodness me, Kel and Agador, that's the first time I've messed up the exit for the show.
It was still brilliant, Jeff. I loved it.
Thank you, Agador.
It's live
radio, man. I know
everybody's
laughing. People saying, don't let him near the nuke button, for goodness sake. It was funny. But anyway, Agador, it was great having you on the show this evening and being part of the panel. It was great, and yourself and Kel, fantastic job as usual. But as I say, we're not going to have an archive thing. I get a little bit tired these days, Agador, to be honest with you.
Well, we've got to take care of ourselves for the fight, brother. We've got to take care of ourselves for the fight.
We certainly have. But for the both of you, have a great rest of the Easter holiday. And I'll probably be speaking to you both in the weekend. Mikael, because you've got a show tomorrow night as well. I was wondering if you'd like to promote your shows, because you've got a couple going on this week before I...
We're going to be talking about Islamic persecution on Monday, and on Tuesday, Audrey Russo joins us on the Radio Jihad Network.
Brilliant.
And
absolutely fantastic.
And that's it. Here you go.
Yeah. I was wondering as well, Kel, if you could do me a favor when we come to the end of this part of the show. Do you think you could drop me the link of Tim's the Liberty GB radio thing that you done earlier, please?
if you can.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
If that's
Jeff,
okay
I will
with you,
do that
Carol,
for you. Of course.
Thank you. Anyway, you guys have a great rest of the holiday, and I'll catch up with you both very soon. So take care, guys. This
good night,
is the
Jeff.
English defense.
Good night, Agador.
Kel, got to do this bit now. Kel, how about this? This is the English Defence League radio show. We're signing off for the night. How's that, Kel? Good night, guys.
Good night.